Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Let's pray. Father God, we pray that your Spirit would guide us as we reflect on these words this morning. We pray that you would help us to put aside the worries and concerns of the past week and the things that we are struggling with, so that we might sit under your word this morning and reflect on what you have for us. Lord, challenge our hearts to use the amazing gift that we have of prayer, the wonderful joy that we have of being able to approach you with confidence. Help us not to neglect this wonderful gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No matter what job you're trying to get done, whether you're working in the kitchen or in the garden or in the shed, when you use the right tool for the right job, everything goes much better. Using the wrong tool can be dangerous. It can make the job so much harder, and you often won't get the kind of results that you were looking for. But I'm guessing that in one way or another, we've all used the wrong tool for the wrong job at one point or another. We've all probably tried to eat soup with a fork or pick up our food with a knife. Maybe, like me, you've used a knife to try and undo a screw in a kid's toy to get the battery out. Or maybe, actually, I almost ask a show of hands for this one. How many of us have used a screwdriver or a shifting spanner or even our hand as a hammer? Just the same, I don't think any of us would be crazy enough to go and get our vacuum cleaners out to try and clean the lawn or try and take it on with a pair of scissors. I'm hoping that none of us would use a hammer to try and drive in a self-tapping screw, or a pair of multi-grips to undo a nut or a bolt, although I'm sure some of us are guilty of that. Even though there are times when you can get by using the wrong tool for the job, well, at the end of the day, none of our substitutes even come close to using the right tool. They don't come close to how well and how safe and how efficiently you can get the job done if you use the right tool for the right job. And this same principle applies to the good gifts that God's given us. Whether that be this amazing privilege to be able to approach God, the perfectly holy God, the creator of the universe, with confidence through prayer, or how we hold on to all of the blessings that we have in this life. If we want to give God the glory he deserves, then we need to use the right tool for the right job. Sadly, we're all guilty of using God's good gifts, all of the things that he has given us, like the opportunity to be able to approach him in prayer, along with all of the resources that we have in this life, for our own glory instead of his. Maybe we've used prayer to try and get what we want from the Lord. Maybe we've used prayer to try and look more godly around others. Or maybe we've used prayer to make us feel better about ourselves. But whenever we use God's good gifts for our glory, we're using the tools that he has given us for the wrong purpose. So this morning, as we're thinking about the Lord's Prayer, we're going to be reflecting on how praying this way helps us use the good gifts that God has given us for his glory, for his praise and honor, as we give him thanks for all that he's done for us through Christ Jesus. So verse 5 is where all of this begins, and Jesus is telling his disciples how to pray. And as he does this, he begins with a warning to make sure that they aren't using this tool that God has given them for the wrong purpose. Instead, to use it to give God the glory he deserves. He says, don't go standing on street corners and praying out loud so that everyone will think that you're really, really holy. Can you imagine that these days? Can you imagine standing down in Coolerman Street near the cenotaph, standing there praying out loud for all of the local area Parkians to be able to hear us pray? Would they think we're holy? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they'd think we're crazy. But in first century Palestine, praying like this outside and completely boldly would gain you the respect and admiration of others, because it looked like you were so committed to your faith in the Lord, you wanted everyone else to know about it. Jesus says that those who pray in this way are only praying so that people will think better about them. They're not praying so that people would be turned to the Lord. They're using prayer as a tool, but not for its God-given purpose. They're trying to gain the respect of others instead of giving thanks and praise to the Lord. Jesus warns that some were praying using lots and lots of words. They were going on and on and on. But Jesus says their hearts, because their hearts weren't engaged, their words basically mean nothing. Instead, Jesus gives us permission to be brief in our prayers and to say only what is on our hearts. I think for those of us who don't use a lot of words, those who are a bit quiet, it is helpful to know that God doesn't hear our prayers any more or any less if we have lots of words or only a few. What he wants is our heart to be engaged. What he wants is our sincere praise. The prayer begins with these words: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It begins with our Father. There's relationship there, isn't there? I recognize that not everybody will have had a good relationship with their earthly father. The image of an earthly father is meant to show that God is someone who cares about us, who provides for our needs. There is relationship there. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. How many of us have used hallowed in a sentence recently? I can't remember having done that myself. Hallowed, it means to give God the glory and praise that he deserves. In the Old Testament, God's name was hallowed when his people remembered him as the one who brought them out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. In the New Testament, God's name is hallowed when his people remember him for as the one who saved them, delivering them from the guilt of their sins through Jesus' work on the cross. And so if we're going to use this tool of prayer as God intended, then prayer begins by giving our Heavenly Father, the one we have relationship with, the praise and honor for who he is and for what he has done for us through Christ Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. These words are petitioning the Lord to bring people into saving faith in Jesus, to bring people into God's kingdom. These words are acknowledging that it is only God who can change hearts, that it's not our wise arguments or clever words, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit that grows God's kingdom. And so we pray that on earth, God's will would be done as it is in heaven. And we pray this also to remind ourselves that we are not the ones who are in control of our circumstances. We pray this in submission to God's will, recognizing that God doesn't have to answer our prayers the way we want him to, or in the time frame that we want him to. By praying this way, we are trusting that he will do what is best. He is our Heavenly Father, after all. We're trusting him, even if we don't understand how or why he is doing what is best. Give us today our daily bread. At this point in our prayer, we've already recognized that God is our rescuer, our deliverer, and that we are his servants, servants in his kingdom. And so as we ask the Lord to provide for our daily bread, not just the food we eat, but everything we need in this life to survive and to serve him, and ultimately to thrive, we are asking the Lord, knowing that he loves us, that he wants what is best for us. We know this because he's already shown us his love to us through the work of his Son. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. The Lord's Prayer is about giving God the glory that he deserves, giving him the praise and the thanks that he deserves. And there are a few things that we can do in this life that show God more glory than forgiving those who have wronged us. Because ultimately, we are those who have been forgiven. When we forgive others, we reflect the same kind of forgiveness that Christ has shown us, the same kind of forgiveness that identifies us as his. And so it's important that as we ask the Lord to forgive our sins, we also acknowledge our need to show this same kind of forgiveness to those around us. Because when we forgive as our Savior forgave us, without strings attached, without remembering wrongs, we give God the glory, the honor, the thanks that he deserves. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. Have you ever thought about what temptation really is? It's a desire to use any of God's good gifts, anything that God has given us, for our own short-term pleasure or our own praise or glory, instead of using those things for the Lord. God gives us everything we have, so we can use his good gifts to serve him, or we can use them to serve ourselves. That's where temptation comes in. And so when we're asking the Lord to help us when we are tempted, we're in effect asking him to help us to do his will. We're asking him to help us avoid choosing anything in this life over him. This prayer is an acknowledgement that we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we need God's strength to be able to stand up to these temptations. It's an acknowledgement that we are weak, but that our Saviour is strong. As we pray these words, we're acknowledging that even though those things tempt us, we know that God's way is better. We know that we are weak and susceptible to these kind of things. We know in our heart of hearts that our Saviour is far greater than anything we have in this life. This morning we've been reminded that there is a right and a wrong way to pray. But praying the way God wants us to doesn't require us to be eloquent with words or to be able to quote multiple scripture passages as we pray. The kind of prayer that God wants comes from our hearts. And it may even be a prayer that's full of fumbled words and unfinished sentences, because it's about what's in our heart, not what comes out of our mouth. Prayer that honors the Lord recognizes that we are not in control of our circumstances, but that we serve the one who is. So how can we get better at using this God-given tool, the tool of prayer, for what God has designed it to do? Well, firstly, we need to avoid praying in order to impress others or comparing our prayers to the prayers of those around us. In these verses that we heard read earlier, Jesus gave some really practical advice on how to avoid comparing our prayers with the prayers of others. He says, "Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father." Prayer is between us and God. What if you can't avoid praying in public? What if you're on the prayer roster? What if you're leading Bible study? What if you're joining us this Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on Zoom for our prayer gathering? Well, how can we avoid the temptation to be measuring our prayers against those who are eloquent of words, those who quote scriptures? Well, we need to remember that our prayer is first and foremost a conversation between us and God. We need to forget everybody else in the room and focus on that relationship alone. When someone is leading public prayer, we're being given the opportunity to be able to listen in to a conversation between them and God. If we agree with what they're praying, then we're being given the opportunity to be able to pray along with them. But as that person leads the congregation in prayer or the Bible study or the prayer group, their prayer is first and foremost a conversation between them and God. Second way we can get better at praying the way God intended us to is by prayerfully remembering what God has done. If all of our prayers are filled with requests of things that we want God to do, if that's the main way and the main reason that we pray, then those prayers are all about us and about what we want. And don't get me wrong, there is a time to bring all of our prayers and requests before the Lord, and that's clearly shown in the Lord's Prayer. But if all of our prayers are filled up with what we want and neglect what He has done, then we've failed to give our great Saviour the glory that He deserves. And we're using the right tool for the wrong job. As Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, He was showing us a better way to use this gift of praying to Him, a way that could give Him the glory and honour that He deserves and grow us in our dependence on Him. He's providing us a framework. We're not meant to be always praying this word for word. We're meant to be thinking about how we can frame our prayers in a way that begins with God's glory and what he has done, and then works our way to what we need of him, our daily bread. So may we not neglect this incredibly great privilege. May we not leave this tool in our toolbox. May we bring our heartfelt concerns and worries before the Lord. May we do it in a way that shows that we have this relationship with our Heavenly Father, a way that gives him the thanks for all that he has done for us through Christ Jesus, and for the forgiveness that he shows us day after day after day. For when we pray the way God intended us to pray, it reminds us of who he is. It reminds us how much we need him in our daily lives. It reminds us that it is his kingdom that we are serving in his strength, and that our purpose in this life and in the next is to bring him the glory and the honor and praise that he deserves. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you in prayer now, we acknowledge that we have so often neglected such a wonderful gift as being able to come before you any time we want. We have so often failed to remember who you are. We've often brought our shopping list to you, Lord, all of the things that we want from you. And we've often forgotten who you are, what you have done for us, and what you continue to do for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us, each of us, in our own personal prayer lives, to grow in our desire to be speaking to you, not just in the mornings or evenings, Lord, but throughout our day. Help us to be in constant conversation to you, Lord. May our prayers, may the thoughts of our hearts, Lord, bring you praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.